welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my wonderful co-host, Veronica Entwistle.
Hello, everyone. I'm excited about the show again. The wild ride.
Yes, tonight's show, The Shadow Continues. The blocks and obstacles to all relationships are in the shadow. And tonight, we're going to focus on what we put in the shadow that keeps us from having the relationship that we desire. Whether you're married or just lovers or gay or straight or whatever, doesn't matter, same thing. Have a couple of things I wanted to share tonight before we begin. Since we've been focusing on power retrieval so much, this is such an interesting email from one of our great listeners. This is from last week. Listen to your program tonight. Very enlightening. I was dismayed to learn about our favorite video that made me cry being taken off the internet. I hope someone took a copy of it.
And we haven't heard back on that, have we?
No, and if anybody has it, please send it. This is the group of ships that were sitting over a city in South America somewhere. Unfortunately, I don't remember.
You told me Lima, I think.
No, it wasn't Lima. That was the other one.
Okay.
And the energy coming from the ship, there was so much love, it was dust. So the ships were very visible. And there was a full transmission coming from the ships. It was astounding. It was removed from YouTube and just stated on there it was illegal use, which, you know, we know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
And it was too real. Anyway, it goes on to say, your broadcast tonight was excellent. You're saying to choose to experience the good from all that I experienced really hit home. I was in a contest at work to sell the most liquor. My boss promised whomever won this contest would receive a bottle of wine or vodka. One other person won from the day shift and received her prize already. 3 weeks later, I'm still awaiting my prize. I was hurt that I've been overlooked. My boss apologized to me that I should have received my bottle and that I did deserve recognition for it, but still no bottle. Last night I was working with him and I noticed that he made myself and other coworkers feel uncomfortable watching us to value our job performance. Yet when we perform very well for him, he sidetracks what he promises to us. My question is this: I'm looking for the good in this situation, but at the same time, it's not comfortable for me. It feels like no matter how good I am, I'm being judged anyway. All I could think is I want to escape this job environment from people that obviously don't care about my feelings. And, of course, issues about my dad did come to mind.
Yeah.
And how I was never good enough for him, and I found myself silently crying at work the other night. It feels where I work that no matter what I do, recognition for my talents, selling, singing, whatever, are set aside, and others get their piece of the pie, and I do not. I really wish to turn this around somehow, and I wish to not be taken so much for granted. Any ideas?
Wonderful.
I hope you can help me on this. Now, she has a session tomorrow. I just wrote her back and said, get your butt in here.
That's great.
Let's do a session on Dad.
So that's really interesting because we literally push away our own bounty, don't we, if it's in the shadow like that?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And where we are still having issues, and I see this all the time, where we've projected Dad onto bosses over and over again, it's just amazing to me, and it shouldn't surprise me at all. But in doing the work that I've been doing so much of it lately in power retrieval, over and over again, these are opportunities. And what's so amazing, and I want to say this to everybody and to you, Ronnie, when we go through the power retrieval and take it all back, the person who was holding it is so happy. They don't want it, but they're willing to play that role. And more I see that this is so orchestrated, is all of it. We really can't play the game anymore of being a victim in any situation because it just is not going to hold up. As fast as things are moving now, it just won't hold up.
And we have a caller. Do we want to take callers now, Jackie?
We can take a caller. Go ahead. Hello?
Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, I think we don't have a caller.
Okay.
All right. So tonight we delve into the shadow and what's in there that holds us back from having the relationship of our dreams. And I'm going to quote something that came out from Debbie Ford this week. As I talk about her a lot in her book, Dark Side of the Light Chasers. She has a television show going right now called The Ex-Wives Club. And over the past 3 weeks, the show that she's part of, short clips of it are on her website of her leading participants through an anger release process. Now, you know, again, I don't do this kind of stuff because to me, I feel that we can go in and approach it from a different level, but I certainly would never negate her work. You've seen me yelling, say it, I'm not going to take it anymore. Much more than high drama material for TV viewers, this profound experience is an integral part of my shadow process retreats. And one of the reasons this statement has so much energy is that it unlocks the life force that we've been pushing down in order to tolerate, capital letters, things in our lives. Just think about how much unhappiness and self-abuse we tolerate. Think about the limitations that we put up with. Think about how we tolerate dealing with the same issues over and over again. Enough is enough. Let this day, this week, this month be a turning point for you. What are you sick and tired of taking? Are you withholding your thoughts? Do you have integrity issues that are screaming for your attention? Are you tolerating somebody's belittling remarks? Are you tolerating being a victim, being attached to a love that's no longer there? Rehashing the past, obsessive thinking, excuses, justification, or getting mediocre results in your life? Are you tolerating not having enough love, enough money, enough sex, enough fulfillment? Can you tolerate hearing the wounded part? And this is what I thought was significant. Of you tell you one more time that you can't, you won't, you'll never, you shouldn't, or you couldn't if you wanted to. This time, use the power of that anger to stop tolerating the intolerable. You can use that energy to move through it, to draw strong boundaries, to say, I'm not going to take it one more day. And she goes on to say, I don't want to hear people say that they're not moving forward. If you're not moving forward, hire an integrative coach, find a financial advisor, get a personal trainer, join Weight Watchers. Do something to break your patterns of habitual thinking and behaving. What would happen if you sunk into that power today and took dramatic action because you're unwilling to tolerate anything but a breakthrough? Now, you know, I want to say this, and it's all really good stuff, but I also would have to say it's not enough. And there's a piece that I'm experiencing every day in people's sessions, and I've said this over and over again. Tonight's another opportunity. It all starts with mom and dad. And we continue from there. And if you have siblings, I'm seeing it with grandparents, aunts, uncles. A lot of times in our families of origin, there is someone significant, sometimes even more significant than parents, by the way, that has tremendous influence and may be holding huge power for us. I did a session the other day with someone's grandfather, and this being, when he came in, was so incredible, and he had huge pieces of her power that he'd been holding for her for so long. And
it's a benevolence, you're saying?
Oh, absolutely benevolent.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the session, we asked him to show himself. And he was he was an Arcturian. He was an incredible being. And he just, his whole image transformed before our eyes. And, you know, they wouldn't tell us much about him other than that he was very busy. And he needed to return to his work. But,
so I want to say something. Is like going back to this, I'm not going to take it anymore.
Yes.
Recently, and you'll know about this, is I hit a wall in my family of origin. and all of a sudden I went, I'm done. And it resonated, and I'm 100 years old, as we all know, and I resonated so deeply with it that I don't think I can go back into patterns no matter what, which does not mean I don't have to go back to mom and dad and so on. But I feel a sort of a strange, what is it, like a ripping, tearing something that released me from something. And when I said that I'm done, I meant it like a slice going through bread, you know?
Well,
I'm just saying there's a catalytic force in that reactiveness that I think even impacts the deepest part of the shadow, I think.
Yes. Well, and you, when you hit it, I don't do well in, but I've been through Debbie's shadow workshop, and I don't do well in confrontational group exposure. That's not really my bailiwick, personally. Although I love the premise of what she does, and I agree, but I think that this becomes a very personal decision, and Veronica, certainly you've seen it as we've worked through some of your family of origin, that at a certain point, and this is, you know, I wasn't going to get into this part of the show, but I think it's the perfect time. There, as we see the way these contracts set up, and the themes, and I really want to emphasize themes in families, your personal theme, let's put it that way.
And how it resonates with the family, you mean?
Yes, and what your dynamic was, and I'm kind of going to the end of my notes here, but I really recommend to everyone to sit down like a playwright and sit with your life. What was my focus coming in? I set it up, and let's say mom was a bitch and dad was an alcoholic, and, you know, my siblings, you know, were mean or they pushed me away. This happens a lot, especially for star beings.
Or everyone was frozen. That's the other thing.
Right. Or emotionally unavailable.
Right.
And start really looking at your themes and, you know, play with what did I come here to do? I mean, what was I really playing with here? Did I come in to heal and transmute a lot of damage because I really believed I could from the other side of the veil? You know, it's different for every person, and I have to say this. In my case, I took on a mother who had done some horrible things to me in other lifetimes. You know, only I would come up with this one. And decided that I wanted to totally transmute and took it on one more time to rise above it. And it's only taken me all this time to get here.
Oh, the wonder of aging.
Well, I think I rose above it a long time ago. What I didn't do was heal the damage from it.
Or the shadow. I mean, isn't that what we're talking about, is the shadow, how deeply it is?
Absolutely. And, you know, for everyone listening, believe me, you are going to get the highs higher and the lows lower. They rip and tear. And, Veronica, you know this.
I do.
And, you know, we then continue to project it on and continue to play out mom and dad with siblings and lovers and bosses and friends. And they're all sitting there with your power. And, you know, wherever you have damage or resentment or pain, there's power sitting there, I promise you. And sometimes it's almost frightening to see how much. Now, what I've also seen...
Can you explain that a little bit?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Please.
I'll do it. I did a session today with someone who's a good friend of mine. And we went back to take power back from Dad. And Dad was an alcoholic and, you know, was abusive, and she had jumped in as a child to save her mom and her sister from being killed by him. and she became the caretaker. She was probably five. And as with so many of you out there, couldn't remember much of her childhood. You know, a lot of you go into shock because of what you experience, and you just somehow don't remember. I happen to be one of those. I remember bits and pieces, but certainly not all of it. And we really thought that the majority of it we would find with that. Dad was thrilled to be there and have her take her power back. He was just absolutely a piece of cake. And then we did her husband. And I have to tell you.
He wasn't thrilled?
Huh?
He wasn't thrilled?
No, it wasn't. He was fine. It's just that it was such a complex power retrieval where they had hooks in each other's hearts and second chakras, and her power lit up like a Christmas tree on him. And there was a lot of codependence, and, I mean, it was exhausting. I mean, when I do these, okay, I'm in channel, and I normally can't do two in one session, and but they jumped right into it with her, and I thought, oh, my God, they're not going to do both of them. Because literally, I feel like I want to crawl out of my skin.
Hmm.
It becomes physically very uncomfortable for me. And
so what you're saying is that where he's holding her power lights up on his body.
All over his body, everywhere, in his chakras, all around his body, and of course in the back there are these contracts that this is a very sacred thing that we do here. And, you know, exactly where we got permission to do this, I have no clue. But
you also mentioned hooks and stuff. So.
Oh, yeah, the hooks were unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never seen anything like it.
And that's a mutual connection to each other?
Yes. And when we did the exchange through the third eye, the cords went on forever. I mean, it was so deep. I have never done a relationship that was this deep and this complex. And here was a case where the damage occurred in childhood, but she took on way more with husband. And
is he damaging as well? What I mean is the outpicturing, is it similar to what Dad was like, or is it a different...
No, it's different.
Hmm.
It's different, but it plays out in the codependence, and, you know, I have to be careful what I say on the air, but it is a different situation in that when you come to a relationship damaged with projections and trying to protect yourself and not aware of how much damage you're carrying, a real dance begins, and then it starts twisting the relationship, and you can't see the person you're married to anymore. You can't see through the projections. You really don't know who he is anymore. And he's acting out based on all your stuff. And so it becomes a dance that's never ending. It just never stops.
So he's acting out of your shadow.
Correct.
And you're acting out of his.
And basically, yes.
Hmm.
Very complex.
I'm staring at Bob going, uh-oh.
So, I mean, this is what we do. And let's go on a little bit. We can come back to this. I don't know. Oh, there they are.
Pretty fascinating, isn't it?
Without a doubt, this is, you know, of course, I always say this, you know, we get into something new, and I'm just like, oh, my gosh.
This is big stuff, Jackie.
It's just cute. And when we see the contracts that sit like this behind the head, and this weaving in the sacred sacral center in the back of all these tentacles that are woven in, and it's like DNA in other lifetimes, and, I mean, it's so complex. That's, like I said, that's why I can only do one power retrieval per session. And when you see the way the contracts sit in the energy fields, and, you know, on the back there is this opening between the shoulder blades, and when you look in it, it's a universe. I mean, you know, I've heard Bashar say, you are your own universe. But when I look in there, okay, if I'm looking through the client's eyes, I'm blended with them, there is no question that we are our own universe. Okay, I mean, this for me has been an experience of actually seeing how we set things up and becoming so mindful now of how we do this. And I'm still a human. I'm still working within this framework. It doesn't mean I don't feel pain or, you know, have issues, but Lordy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think for those people who are new, Bashar, we should mention that Bashar is a being, well, why don't you describe it? He's an...
Bashar is a result of his race. Is a result of some of the hybridization that's going on now. He's a future race known as Esasani. And they have come back from the future, from a probable future, okay, to help because they are related to us. And Bashar, his website is www.bashar.com. And lots of excellent information on there.
You're really interesting, so.
And he's doing a lot of work preparing people for contact. Now, the other thing I want to say here is that at the end of a session, we ask them to show themselves. And I this has also been so fascinating. And I won't put you on the spot here, Ronnie.
I'm just asking myself if I want to be part of this.
I know, I know. I'll never do that. You can volunteer if you like.
Okay.
And sometimes the person that we're doing the power retrieval with can turn into what we perceive as some extraterrestrial race. Sometimes they become rather angelic. We had a winged one the other day, which are not angelic. They are hugely loved. And
they're like dragon beings?
Oh, no. They're very tall. They're depicted actually out at Hoover Dam.
Hmm.
And their wings are very angular. They're very human-looking. They're very physically beautiful, and their bodies are very beautiful. They're very tall. When we were going through the stargates and everything, they would be the ones that would come and get people and take them through the stargates.
Mm.
And they are exquisite and loving beyond belief. They also take people to Atlantis through the stargate. And they're the ones also that work in the chakras, in the caves with people. They're always waiting in the caves for the sacred work in the chakras. So, let's see what else. A huge beings of light. But it is fascinating, and people can't always see the first time around. After they do the first power retrieval, sometimes it takes a second one. Sometimes not. Sometimes it happens right away.
What would we say that this is like the soul history? Or I'll say what I would. Shall I say what I experienced?
If you would like.
Yeah, I just think it's very interesting. I'm slightly in awe and a little embarrassed in a way. But when I was experiencing my mother, with whom I had a great deal of difficulty, is a good way to put it.
Yes, mildly.
And I also had an acute sense of weeping, sadness, not for me particularly, but sort of for her, as we were working on the clearing and the power retrieval from my mother. And then we went a long way inside, is my recollection. And you asked who she was and where she came from. And all of a sudden, and this just startled me for about 2 days, I was kind of reeling, that she was actually male and very much not a reptilian, which Jackie and I have talked a fair amount about recently, but something along that lines.
Mm-hmm.
A creature. She wasn't a beautiful winged creature, but she had elegant raiment on and had such a deep shyness and sadness and a kind of a contrariness, but not like evil and scary. The thing that scared me was my genetic forebear. That kind of spooked me a little. you know. But I stood and wept and then saw this being and went, oh, wow. I wasn't sure what to do with it for about 2 days, as you remember.
Well, you know, I want to say this. We have brought in, you know, races are very little understood by our listening audience or anyone else. There are so many varieties. I can't begin to tell you this enough. There are so many varieties that people have put negatives on different races because they don't understand.
Mm.
And, again, projection.
Because things don't look normal or don't look
yes,
right.
Yes, and there are some that are not attractive.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that, and they probably think that we're not also.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, my sensing, and again, I'm in channel, but I'm still, you know, again, I'm looking through your eyes. It was that this was an explorer, a huge explorer of the cosmos. And this was an opportunity for them to come, you know, and experience and actually hold the genetics for you, the courage, because you're so sensitive, that you needed that peace.
Hmm. So the explorer comes and becomes a part of the lineage, perhaps lifetimes and lifetimes, or just a lifetime, or do we ever know? Or
I don't think we ever really know, because as a race, as a species, we have about 21 different races. We are the only species, by the way, in the cosmos that has this mix.
Hmm.
So we are considered quite unusual for that reason.
Hmm.
I
told you a funny story I had years ago when I was first starting to channel. I was also studying radio and finishing a BA and had a small child who was two. And this being kept showing up as I studied in the basement. And he looked very alien. He had a very, very different skin and face. And I thought I had been playing around with matches and it was a dark thing. And he was holding this amazing radio equipment, which I still covet in my dreams these days, you know. And I'd flick my hand at him and say, go to the light, go to the light, go on, go to the light. And I'd just pray like mad, trying to protect my child and myself. And then one day he said, what's the matter? Why do you do that? And I said, well, you look pretty awful. And he said, you don't look so good to me either.
There you go.
And I had to laugh.
Okay, let's. That's so cute. Again, I want to talk about the complexity of situations that we have set up for this lifetime. And I have had an opportunity to work with sometimes generations and to see where people come in as a group to work through huge archetypal issues. And it reaches out to in-laws and, and the in-laws in some cases have been more powerful than the husband or the wife. I mean, I'm fascinated by this.
The power being in taking, in holding a person's power.
Right, where we have a lot of religious overtones, and in this case we had ministers, and it was very, very, very big.
Hmm. And big soul affinities?
I'm sorry?
Soul affinities, I mean, why?
Well, this particular family chose to come in to work with huge issues around persecution and religion and dogma and carrying the light and knowledge and being psychic and how those two have clashed, you know, throughout history. And the persecution, and it's very complex. I mean, believe me, I think I could write a whole book on this one.
Hmm.
Hugely complex.
Hmm.
Not everyone has, you know, come in with issues that are that complex, but I can tell you that their sessions are just gigantic. I mean, I did one the other day that I just wanted to lay on the floor. it was so huge. I received a phone call today, and I want to send my condolences to Carol Long, whose father crossed over today in a plane crash.
Oh, my.
She took the time to call me. We did a power retrieval with her father, and she went to visit him a week ago. And she was so thrilled because her relationship with him was completely transformed.
Oh, my.
And there was so much love flowing between them and no issues. And for her, it was the greatest gift. And he talked about the fact that he didn't want to move out of his home, that he loved his airplanes and his flowers. And they're on a trip across country and had to double back. But she called to thank me. She said, had that not happened, it would have devastated her today.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Was he flying his own plane?
I didn't ask. Mm-hmm. Veronica, probably. But I also, you know, it made me wonder also that perhaps... taking back her power from him and doing what needed to be done and having that connection set him free to be able to go on.
Yes, I believe that.
And so how do you go out and have a real relationship with anyone when you're projecting all this stuff from the past onto the next person? I really want to get into this. And I want to talk about the way that we've idealized, especially all of our New Age people, myself included, have idealized relationships.
Mm.
Okay? So many people have been out without relationship for so long that they have created this ideal of the ultimate relationship, that they're both going to be hugely metaphysical and they will have a healing center or write books or... And
they've all got their lists. Everybody's written their big, long lists.
Yes, that too. And so I got this great letter from someone who is working with this issue and is in relationship right now, and they had a session, but they were so angry during the session that they really didn't hear much, so I called back a couple of days later and just chatted with her, and so she wrote back, they were in a crisis, and she wrote back and she said, you're right in that this is a huge opportunity for my soul growth. I guess I feel lucky because I see all my issues pretty clearly. That does make it easier to heal them. The part I didn't see was the fantasy of the relationship, which is what I talked to her about. I often look at people who feel they won't have a spiritual job until they are working in a metaphysical spiritual field somehow. I know this is not true and have managed to create a very magical and spiritual business in a very mundane and worldly industry. I don't know why I had it in my mind for so long that my partnership had, in capital letters, to be a meeting of the spiritual minds and to be, I love this one, to be a good one or for us to be intimate and connected deeply. I see now that I'm solely responsible for creating any and all magic, connection, and intimacy. Boy, is this a big one for me. And then she wrote, and I'm going to start watching Raymond. And you know how I am about watching Raymond and King of Queens. Because I think these two television programs really show the little boy in men and how simple men pretty are, pretty much. And this is not to demean anyone out there listening, please. but men and women are put together differently. And women have a tendency to idealize, and have done it throughout history, what a relationship can be. And
isn't it all about romance? And magic?
You're right. And so our discussion evolved around the fact that as metaphysicians, we tend to throw down the gauntlet in relationships because we've been damaged and we're determined not to make the same mistakes again. And so we wait and watch to see if they are going to screw up or make a mistake or be like him or whoever him is, and it's usually dad or some version of dad or mom or some version of mom. Gender isn't really important here because we can project mom or dad onto a relationship in a minute. And then I also talk about finesse. And, you know, I was trying to explain, and as I said to this person, I said, you know, do you remember when you had a five-year-old and they wanted to have ice cream before dinner? Do you remember how you distract them and you both won? And I think that this is a really good point here because, you know, this goes back to you want to be happy or, you know, you want to be right.
Mm-hmm.
That the idealization of what we want in a relationship doesn't match up to the reality of what life is. We're still in process of ascension. We're still humans. We still all carry damage, okay? Relationship is about growth. And if it's the perfect relationship, you're not going to grow.
Or if it's a perfect relationship, you'll have to grow like mad because that's why it's perfect, right?
Well, if what you're looking for, your version of perfect, whatever that may be,
right.
It doesn't happen. It's not going to show up on your doorstep. And I'm not trying to burst bubbles here. But I do this work all day, and I see how relationships can evolve into that as you start peeling off the layers. But they're not going to show up that way. I promise you that. And we get angry because the new man or woman doesn't measure up to our ideal. You know, that perfect... I hear this... Veronica, I know you hear this one. Soulmate, twin soul...
Oh, please.
Twin flame...
People say, I want my soulmate. I said, no, you don't.
No, you don't.
Run. You got soul stuff to deal with. You may not recognize it in each other. It may be very painful.
Well, you're not going to have anything to push against. We're here to experience emotions and limitations. And to be as creative as the creators that we are, to learn how to work with those and to bring the highest light out of them. It is work.
But there's that other thing, too. Sometimes when you meet soulmates, and I've met a number of them, I'm sure you have, the pushing against does exist, but it's at the shadow level or at the cellular level, and it's so unfathomable at times. You get towed around. You don't even know what's going on.
Oh,
Have you ever had that experience, Jack?
Oh, yes. And let me tell you, I don't... Somebody said, I've met your soulmate, I would run the other direction. because I'm going to say this, if that's what you meet, all of your stuff is going to show up on a silver platter and all of their stuff, and you'll be in la-la for about a month.
Mm-hmm.
And then the walls will come crashing in.
There's enough biochemical rush to really crank up the attention.
Oh, now,
and the twin souls, I met many people who talked about being twin flames and all of that, and they most of them ended up in shipwrecks, you know.
Yes. If the intensity is too great,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, unless you want to grow 24/7 and literally be on, you know, I mean, I would never say to somebody, don't do it. I'm just saying it's not what you think.
Well, my thing is that quite often on a soul level, you're out of sync. Earth time isn't matching the soul's understanding.
Okay, and that's a really good point, Veronica, and I want to say this also, because I've seen this show up a lot as well. When people are having other relationships on other planes, dimensions, planets, whatever, at the same time, where they have a lot of history with someone, the bleed through start, and they're going to get more so as we're moving through this ascension process.
Mm.
And so here we go again with the idealization of the level of intimacy you may be having on a six-dimensional plane, dribbling in to third. I would say right now we're probably mid-fourth, whatever. Can color dramatically the relationship. And can make it very, very painful because the relationship on this dimension cannot hold up against that other one. Eventually, yes, but today, no.
So is a yearning, is there a stretch in the idealism and the...
Oh, hmm. Yes.
Very painful, huh?
Hugely painful. Mm-hmm. And I lived this one. I do know this one. It was frightening to my partner, and he, there were times when I thought he would jump right out of his skin, because he could not handle the energies. They would get so huge, and literally his whole body would cramp up.
Hmm.
I mean, it was really quite phenomenal.
Was he conscious about what it was?
I would tell him, but I think it would scare him. I don't think I know. Because it requires a certain amount of letting go, and he wasn't in that place. Now, you know, when we get up to the fifth dimension, he might show up again. He might be a whole different person. Or he may not make it. So. But, you know, either that or lightning's going to have to strike him twice. I want to talk about another story that... Because I know it's been a lot of people listening tonight. It's been a while since you've had a relationship. I think a lot of women have been on hold. Ronnie, I think you know that, too.
And men, too. I have
men
clients who swore, everybody swears each other off because they're going to change so much and grow into wholeness without it. So.
Well, I hate to tell everybody this, but it is the relationship piece that's going to take us up through the next level.
Right.
And, you know, I'm the worst at this because I have been in total denial, but they're showing it to me, and I can't argue. I did a session with a woman, lovely, lovely being, who met a man, and when she saw him, her knees buckled. You know, we want to talk about these kinds of relationships. And they were together for a year, and he died in an avalanche. He was ski patrol. And she knew at the moment that he died. And she was so devastated and so angry and hurt and on, bless her heart. And she ended up with someone and married them who was where she was. He was not the same kind of person that this man that she loved so much was. This was a huge relationship. We did a power retrieval on this. It was absolutely exquisite.
Hmm.
I mean exquisite. I feel so honored to do this work. To me, it is like... being in heaven sometimes, it's like I have nothing that I can even measure it against on this plane. And I had another one who, this was the real love of her life, and this man was steeped in religious dogma, and they married. And we did a power retrieval, and he saw her as the temptress, and he could never go where she goes because she goes to such heights, and she's a very advanced soul. And when we got to his second chakra, what was interesting is that her power looked like a snake.
Mm.
And it was like, holy mackerel. I mean, this is Adam and Eve stuff. And, I mean, you know, she saw it. We didn't say anything. I mean, they hold the energy for you to see. So it's pretty big when you're looking at how some of this stuff is held.
So what does that mean? If we were to explain to listeners what it would mean that she had a snake in her second chakra.
In other words, for him, he held that energy as the temptress, as Eve, that she would take him away from his spirituality through her sexuality.
Hmm.
And he never could go there. He would never go to his passion. And it was a relationship.
Because he knew he'd lose himself.
Correct.
Or feared he would lose.
Yes, and this was a soulmate kind of relationship. I mean, you know, we're talking about these. So, you know, it was very, very big, really big.
So did they have to release each other or did they?
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh.
Absolutely.
My heart and soul always want to know there's a solution.
This was too big, and again, steeped in religious dogma, his whole family, everybody lived around, there was no way that this could ever, could have ever worked, unless she gave up all her power to become like them, and never become, you know, the beautiful being that she is.
Mm.
And, you know, so this is where I think so many women feel that they've had to give up the dream of a relationship in order to move on with their spiritual growth. And as you said, Ronnie, men do too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what do we really have in the shadow that keeps us from...
Well, you just said something wonderful, which was you have to give up your dream of relationship. And I think that's really a crucial phrase, because we have to get into knowing what shadow stuff we have in order to create relationship rather than just live the dream. We can't play that game anymore.
No, and that's a great point, Ronnie. And you see, the truth of it is that people are going to come into your life and they're going to have their damage.
Right.
Okay? Now, you're not going to change them overnight. And what you need to do is look at their integrity and their heart and all of the really good things about them. And, you know, I really want to say this. If you focus on the negative, you're going to get more.
Mm-hmm.
If you throw down the gauntlet, you're going to do this or you're going to be that, because I'll never put up with less than that. Believe me, you're never, that's the finesse piece. You're never going to get where you want to go. Okay? What's happened is people have waited so long now that they're unwilling to enter into a give-and-take relationship. You know, we have friendships, Veronica, and I always look at it from that perspective. I love my friends,
mm-hmm.
okay? And I accept them as they are, all right? And I know that this friend is going to be like this and that friend's going to be like that, and that's fine.
Don't you wrangle sometimes?
I'm sorry?
Don't you wrangle sometimes?
Wrangle, meaning?
Argue, push around ways of being, I don't know, change together?
What I pretty much come to understand is that people have their view of reality, and for them it's true. They see life through their lens. And what they see, because they are their own universe, is real for them. What's real for me is not necessarily going to be real for them. And so I've had to come to a point where I have friends and accept that, and there are certain things they don't want to talk about that are very much integral to my life. And that's okay. So I have learned to bring them into my sphere and love and accept them, and I know that they love and accept me. There are going to be certain places that we dovetail off, okay? You know, would I want that in a male-female relationship? I'm different in that I'm committed to my work, okay? Whoever comes into my life is going to have to really understand that one, because I can't put my work aside for a relationship. I can't do it, and I can't compromise it. But
once I had a boyfriend who said to me, because I'm so intense about my work as well, and he said, being with you is like being with someone who has a lover.
Yes.
And you know what? I didn't argue with them. What could I say?
You can't.
No.
So, again, let's look at the shadow. Unhealed beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Damage, power, rage, disappointment, betrayal. Tons of betrayal. And if you're a star being, trust me, you've been betrayed or you're not one. You know, there's a wonderful saying, you can't recognize a vice in another nor a virtue unless it's within you.
Hmm.
So many beings got very damaged in relationships because they just couldn't believe someone could do some of the things that happened. And so the damaged part of us says either don't bother, or we idealize the perfect mate and say, I won't settle for anything less. And there's no place in between. And that's what I really want to talk about here, is that everyone is in process. Everyone is in growth. We're at an incredible time on this planet, and everybody's getting beat up energetically. So we have to be a little more patient. Plus, we have the birthing of the feminine on the planet in a way it's never happened before, or the rebirthing. And men, you know, women jumped all over that, but men are having to figure out how to integrate that, how to work with it. And a lot of men have felt castrated by it, or are afraid even of the concept of a goddess. You know, God's great, but goddess, you know. And the other piece I want to talk about here is that we are the examples, okay? If we're pissed off all the time, it doesn't speak highly for metaphysics.
Well, that makes sense, yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, you think you're spiritually advanced and you're pissed off at me all the time, there's something wrong here. So we're coming to a point now of a whole new level of building relationships, and they're going to look different than they've ever looked before. They are. And the energies that are coming in are going to lift them anyway. So look for the basics, but clean up your own backyard first.
So what are the basics, Jackie?
The basics are integrity, kindness, heart, a conscience, you know, a sense of mission, wanting to make a difference, wanting to grow, wanting to expand. If they have those, you know, it may not look, it may not be your language, you know, if you're a Lazarus person and they have, you know, they can't handle even Lazarus' voice, well, that's not going to be a common ground you're going to meet on.
Right.
But, you know, hand them a book by Carl Jung. They'll get the same information.
Talk about double tetrahedrons.
There you go. And accept the fact that your version of spirituality is personal to you. You're never going to have that 100% match. I mean, Ronnie, even you and Robert.
Right.
Do you not have places where you split off?
You bet. I think we live very, what I was going to say that I think is interesting, we have a very, very strong independent journey side by side in the same house all day. What I mean is Bob's doing his inventions and I'm doing my healing work and my counseling and so on. But I think that has really helped us a great deal because there's no interference. There's no overlap there, but it's really respectful and side by side, and it's very self-actualizing. It's kind of true to our soul. So there's something healing about that.
There is. And that's a wonderful piece to share, Ronnie, because the truth is everyone is going to find their piece, their way of bringing. I mean, I believe at this time that all kinds of new things are being born onto the planet. New ideas, new ways of, you know, I share all kinds of information with people, which I want to say for everyone listening tonight, please go to www.firethegrid.com.
Mm-hmm.
That is scheduled for July 17th. Read this woman's story. It is brilliant. There are 3 million people right now. And this is the purest information I've seen. And what came through, what happened to her and her son, absolutely astounding. And this will be on that day a time to infuse the earth, and I mean in a proactive way that's never happened before. This is not humming and toning, guys. This is really infusing the earth with as much love and joy and everything that we can, which is exactly how her son was healed, and he was pronounced brain dead and on and on and on. So she was guided by these beings of light. It's a great story, and there's so much support all over the world for this one.
Mm-hmm.
So
back to relationship, I wanted to ask you one thing here. Is the infusion of the earth and the great downloads that are universal right now, and that infusion of love, which is a much higher frequency than what most of us have normally bandied about, can actually help resolve the shadow, can it not? Can it, you know what I'm saying, and melt the ego to a degree?
I think that we're able to access and work with it because of this infusion more than we've ever been able to.
Mm.
I believe that this is part of the process,
mm-hmm.
part of the ascension process. Do I think everybody on the planet's doing it? No. Do I know that we have an opportunity here to really move quantum leaps forward? And, you know, I celebrate everybody who's listening tonight. I love you all so much. You have no idea. And I have a great love for humanity, period. No matter what I see out there, I still see the beauty in everyone. But this is a time to really look at the possibility that you can have love again. And it may not look perfect, but it can become perfect. And that's what I would say. You're not settling, but you you're looking at something that has the basics that you can grow from.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key. If you're waiting for a knight in shining armor to come pick you up on his steed, you need to rethink it.
You should say he comes with a lot of polish, and you have to polish his armor.
Right. And there are some, you know, rusty armor out there. But assess what it is you really want. And, you know, what you hold sacred for you. And then, you know, get in there and get healed. Get healed. You're going to attract based on where you are. When you've healed mom and dad and exes, you're going to attract a whole different kind of person. And you're going to have your power back, and you're going to be able to deal, instead of projecting it onto the next person, you're going to hold your own power. Then you can enter a relationship and be an equal instead of waiting for them to make your life perfect. You won't need them to. You'll make your life perfect. They can enter your life, and together you can create something magnificent.
And I'd like to throw in also that the commitment to personal healing, that's a center thing in our relationship and has been for all 6 years. And that's also a place where, you know, if things aren't going well, there is this healing force that both of us acknowledge is the higher end of the relationship in a way.
Well, and you see, that with that theme, Ronnie, okay,
mm-hmm.
you with that theme, all things are possible.
Right.
All right? With that theme, all things are possible. Always, 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 always.
So it's a focus and intention.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
And, but to think that you're going to meet someone and that you're going to ride off into the sunset or that your life will then be perfect is not realistic. Relationships are work. And they are part of our great work at this timing on the planet. Because the new relationships need to be born now and need to be worked on. And I think a lot of people have been in preparation for this and haven't known how to get there. So we're coming up. Are we there yet? No, I can't. And, you know, Ronnie, and I want to say this, your relationship with Bob, and I know you both very well, and it's just wonderful. And your commitment to one another, even in your intentions, is always to strengthen the relationship.
Right.
And to grow it.
And we always are surprised. We grow a lot. We don't know where we're going because we're always growing, you know.
Well,
I think that's what saves a lot of relationships that we know about these days.
Well, again, living in the now moment, which is all we really have, and, you know, we'll talk about it another time, reality creation from here on out, which is going to be a lot different.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they started talking weeks ago about the fact that, you know, you can't look at the future. The past is no longer a measure for the future. It just won't work.
Right.
It won't fit. And I sent you those. I'm going to put those in the newsletter this month as well, or next month.
The codes. My.
Codes, brilliant.
Isn't it wonderful? Yes.
Brilliant.
People need to see that.
And it fits so much into what they had been saying about reality creation. It was just such a perfect timing to get them. And,
and really, it's basically talking about how the way the universal energies are going and the codes that are being downloaded right now, creating our reality is going to be moving much faster than ever before, but really how integrated we have to be to do it.
Yes, and that's the whole purpose of healing.
Right.
It, by retrieving all your power, by being able to finally see the truth of all the people in your life, what they really came in to do, where you don't have any more buzz, and I've said this before, when you no longer have a buzz on it, you know you're healed. And when you can be there, then your reality creations can be absolutely magnificent because they'll be clean.
And this is supposed to be the year where it really gets fast.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
So far, I would absolutely agree with that. So, Ronnie, you want to, because I know they're going to cut us off in a minute.
Okay, www.veronicaentwistle.com. And I'm doing a radio show Tuesday afternoons at 4 p.m. West Coast time. And we're also talking about relationships with visiting people from around the world. We're just talking about relationships and how they are potentially